Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. So the laws that currently regard accessibility options for entertainment in Australia, what laws do we currently have in place?
Well, we've got laws that govern having closed captioning on our television, so our terrestrial television services between 6 a.m. and midnight need to have the option to be able to caption everything, which is fantastic for people with sort of hearing impairments. But we don't have anything that really deals with audio description, which is an accessibility feature that's much more used by people who are blind or have vision impairments. So, and we certainly don't have anything that deals with the video on demand services. The Australian government's policy was that they would no doubt do it themselves out of goodwill, which didn't really happen.
Yeah, we're not currently seeing many services on any of these streaming services.
No, that's not true. Netflix has just recently provided audio captioning pretty much on their whole catalogue, and it's sort of an interesting. The regulation that's probably informing that is actually American, but because Netflix is sort of a global company, which I suppose is the trend in video on demand, that you no longer have these, you know, what we would understand as a television station broadcasting to a sort of limited geographic area. They're now global companies, but as a result, they are subject to sort of global regulation, or, you know, regulation in all the countries they operate in. And in this case, it's worked out really well for Australian consumers, particularly those people who have a blind or have a vision impairment. And it was also a sort of ground-up thing. The show Daredevil, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or your listeners are familiar with it. It features a blind superhero. That sort of became the lightning rod, I suppose, for people going, well, Daredevil couldn't watch his own TV show. maybe we should do something about that.
That's absolutely an excellent point. Like, well, these services, these video on demand services, are, as the name says, on demand. So when we've seen this development with the closed captioning coming out of the United States, and we look at the things that are missing, like the audio description catering to the visually impaired, could it be that there is a reflection of a low demand for these services, or do we sort of need to bring the water to the horse rather than the horse to water?
Yeah, look, there's certainly an unmet demand. You know, if the research dating back to the 90s shows that, you know, the people who are blind normally watch TV at least once a day. So there's certainly so it's not like people with vision impairments aren't engaging with television as a medium. But obviously it's harder to appreciate without the audio descriptions telling you exactly what's happening on the screen. Like a lot of things that are done to sort of help people with disabilities, it actually works for everyone. So, you know, I'll turn on audio descriptions while I'm doing the dishes in the other room so I can follow the show when I'm not actually able to see the screen. My vision's fine. so these things sort of work for all consumers in a way, depending on their circumstance. The same as, I suppose, closed captioning when you're at an airport watching the news and you don't have the sound on, but you can see you can still appreciate the content.
Well, in your view, here in Australia, here at home, rather than waiting on the international companies to catch up, what do you think would be the best solution to ensure that video on demand services do offer accessibility features? Does this need to be looked at in a legal sense, or is there just more of a need for a bit of a row about getting these features going so they're responding to customer demand rather than legal demand?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I mean, I suppose from almost a romantic perspective, I'd like to see the community rise up and demand this sort of thing. But I do, the sort of history of making these accessibility features available is one that it really does follow legislation.
Okay.
So it's very, of course, you know, that doesn't mean that community sort of anger over inaccessibility doesn't then drive the legislation as well, but it does seem to be one of those situations where you really need the government to to regulate these services, and that then drives accessibility, which then ironically creates a market for the services that they could have been tapping in the first place.
Well, it's one we'll have to keep our eyes on. Mike, do appreciate you coming on The Daily this morning and having a bit of a chat with us about it.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.